Good morning and welcome everyone, wherever you are. If you're watching us live, if you're watching the video at some other point, if you're even listening on our phone system, then that's brilliant. It's great to have you with us and thank you so much for joining us. And welcome to our Advent Sunday. You've noticed, yeah, look at my lovely lectern here, all in bright fairy lights. Just to bring a little bit of festive cheer, have you noticed how many people are putting their Christmas decorations up? We won't mention any names, but I think it's a bit early. It's still November. However, it's Advent Sunday today, and it just relates a little bit to what we're going to be thinking about later, the lights and that video, in fact. We'll pick up a little bit more a bit later. But let's give our time to God, shall we? Let's pray. So, Lord God, on this Advent Sunday, we want to welcome you. We welcome you, Lord, by your Holy Spirit. We welcome you, Lord, to stir our hearts afresh this morning. That, Lord, we might start to think, and as we consider, as we work towards this lovely season of Christmas and all that that means to us, Lord, I pray that we will grasp the reality of why you came. And in our worship and in our thinking today, that, Lord, we'd just allow you to have your way within us. So, Lord, we give you this time. We give you ourselves. Speak to us. Stir us. Do with us, Lord, whatever you choose to do. Because we ask this and pray these things in and through the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Okay, just a few announcements, if I could. And we got one or two today. Sorry about this. Firstly, on Wednesday this week, the lifting of lockdown day, I hope you've registered that, we have our prayer time. And I think that's a lovely image. Lifting of lockdown, it's exactly what Jesus did. And it means that actually we can gather together to pray. Now, that's going to be by Zoom. So if you, again, you haven't got that link, or you don't get that link, then please do let us know. Contact us. Just a reminder that also on Tuesday, our Advent Challenge starts. And most of you will have had one of these as an email with a list of 24 names for each day, which you can then pray for somebody who might encounter Jesus, someone who at the moment doesn't know them. And that gives us that opportunity. So if you've not got one of those, again, let us know. Leave a comment in the notes, in the comments column, and we'll get back to you on that. Also, just to remind you that on Saturday, our friends, the King's Chamber Orchestra, are doing their online concert, Silent Night. You can watch that online. It's at 7:30. And if you... there's a post on this very Facebook page, and if you click on that, it will link you to their site. You can make a small donation, and then that connects you to their email, and they will send you the link for the concert later in the week. So it'd be well worth it. So please, can I encourage you to do that? And after the service today, as usually as we have for the last few months, we have our coffee time via Zoom. If you'd also like to pray or have someone pray with you or for you about circumstances you're going through at the moment, then again, we would love to be able to do that. And that's also after the service today at 11:30. So if you'd like the Zoom connection for that and you haven't got it, then just leave a note in the comments. And then last but certainly not least, and I know they're watching this morning, it's an invitation to you, in fact. To join with a couple here from Emmanuel, who are getting married this coming Friday. Woohoo! Fantastic. That's a spike in the PA. Sorry about that, Rich. But our friends Ian Harkness and Joe Tasker are getting married here at Emmanuel on Friday at 10 a.m. But we are, because of the restrictions, it means that it's a very private affair. And only those people who are able and need to be here, I'm afraid, can be here. So because of that, we're going to stream it live on this very Facebook page. So if you'd like to share in their day, and I know they would like that, then please join us. Just tune in at 10 o'clock on Friday morning, and you can join with them and celebrate with them as they make their commitments to one another. Isn't that fantastic? So let's pray for them as well. Don't forget to do that throughout this week. Okay, now it is our Advent crown. So Advent Sunday, as you remember, and so it's really important that we, as we've done in the past, we have our Advent crown. And thank you to Diane Carlton, because, bless you, Diane, you've done us proud again with this lovely Advent wreath. And what we're going to be doing is lighting a candle each Sunday now, between now and Christmas, and finishing off actually on Christmas Day, so that it reminds us of different aspects of what Advent is all about. And so today, our first candle, and I'm going to light that now. Hopefully my lighter will work. There you go. This, our first candle for today, is representing, in fact, all those who've gone before, and God's connections over history, the ancestors to the line of Jesus. And it focuses particularly on the patriarchs. And it's there to remind us that actually God had got a plan, and he was unfolding that plan. And so names like Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all those people, it's for those connections. And so to give us a flavor of what God actually did, I'm going to read you from Matthew chapter 1. Now, as many of you will know, Matthew chapter 1 is a genealogy, and it's full of really long names and complicated words. And so I'm going to have a shot at this, so be gracious to me when I stumble on some of my words. But this is the connection which God put in place so that he could bring his son, and it was rooted in his plan for Israel. So Matthew 1, verses 1 to 17, it says, "A record of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham was the father of Isaac, Isaac the father of Jacob. Jacob was the father of Judah and his brothers. Judah, the father of Perez and Zerah, and mother was Tamar. Perez was the father of Hezron, Hezron the father of Ram, Ram the father of Amminadab, Amminadab the father of Nahshon, Nahshon the father of Salmon, Salmon the father of Boaz, whose mother was Rahab, Boaz the father of Obed, whose mother was Ruth, Obed the father of Jesse, and Jesse the father of King David. David was the father of Solomon, whose mother had been Uriah's wife. Solomon, the father of Rehoboam. Rehoboam, the father of Abijah. Abijah, the father of Asa. Asa, the father of Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat, the father of Jehoram. Jehoram, the father of Uzziah. Uzziah, the father of Jotham. Jotham, the father of Ahaz. Ahaz, the father of Hezekiah. Hezekiah, the father of Manasseh. Manasseh, the father of Amon. Amon, the father of Josiah, and Josiah, the father of Jeconiah and his brothers at the time of the exile to Babylon." You still with me? Good. "After the exile of Babylon, Jeconiah was the father of Shealtiel, Shealtiel the father of Zerubbabel, Zerubbabel the father of Abiud, Abiud the father of Eliakim, Eliakim the father of Azor, Azor the father of Zadok, Zadok the father of Achim, Achim the father of Eliud, Eliud the father of Eleazar, Eleazar the father of Matan, and Matan the father of Jacob, and Jacob the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called the Christ. Thus there were 14 generations in all, from Abraham to David, 14 from David to the exile to Babylon, and 14 from the exile to the Christ." Isn't it amazing how God's pulled it all together? And so that's what this candle is all about, and it links us towards the coming of Jesus. So let's pray, shall we? God of Abraham and Sarah, and all the patriarchs of old, You are our Father too. Your love is revealed to us in Jesus Christ, Son of God and Son of David. Help us in preparing to celebrate his birth, to make our hearts ready for your Holy Spirit, to make his home among us. We ask this through Jesus Christ, the light who is coming into the world. Amen. Amen. And so we're going to light one of these candles, and hopefully as we start to draw a few members of the congregation, we're going to be lighting them in person or by a video if someone can't make it. So look forward to it, and I hope if you've not actually gathered your own, you might want to do that and light your own candle at home, being as you can't necessarily be here with us. Okay, I'm handing over to Alison and the team, because we're going to now enter into our part of worship. Thanks.
Shall come when nations and tongues will be joined in glorious. Doherty. I'm the youth minister here at EBC down in Swanage, and today, as it's only 26 days until Christmas, I thought I'd invite a special friend to come along and help me with today's video. Now, some of you might remember him, but it's been a long time since we've seen him. He lives in this bag here. His name is George, not my friend the farmer, but this is my friend the orangutan, and hopefully he's here to help us today.
Where am I? Who are you? What's going on?
Look, I know it's been a long while, but...
It's been 5 years.
Well, I've been kind of busy.
19th of December, 2015.
Oh, George, I'm so, so sorry. Look, I'll make it up to you. We can do anything you want. Yes, you name it, I promise. We'll do anything at all.
Can we go to Disneyland?
Well... No, not that.
But you said...
Look, I know, but it's got to be within reason, George. We can't just travel that...
You shouldn't lie to kids.
Look, we've got to do a 5-minute video for church this week, okay? For all the boys and girls, to help them understand something about Jesus. We've only got about 3.5 minutes left, George. So look, it's got to be quick. What do you want to do?
Can we do a jigsaw puzzle?
A jigsaw puzzle?
Yeah, a really hard one.
Okay, I think we can do that.
Yay! This is gonna be great.
It is. I think I've got one here. Okay, it's called Bad Cats and Baubles. It's a Christmas themed one. About 500 pieces.
Hooray! Now turn the lights off.
Turn the lights off? What do you mean turn the lights off?
Look,
I can't turn the lights off. We're meant to do a jigsaw puzzle.
Yeah, extreme jigsaws. I watched a documentary on it 5 years ago before you left me in the bag.
Okay, well, I've never heard of that and I'm not quite so sure it's a good idea.
You said...
Well, yes, okay, I did say. Okay, so here we go, EBC. 500 piece jigsaw in the dark.
Yeah!
Right, well, okay. Here's our jigsaw, George. Are you ready?
Open it up.
Okay, right, so we go tipping it out.
Right.
Oh, where on earth do you start?
With the corners.
Well, I know you've got to find the edges, but I don't know what the edges are.
Find the flat ones.
Well, how am I supposed to know? I can't, see
box.
It. Oh, George, this is really hard. How are you doing?
It's extreme.
Does this bit go here?
I think so.
I think it's right.
I think
no, George, some of it's on the floor.
Turn the light back on.
What are we going to do?
Turn the light on. It's not very good, is it?
No, George.
I think we should have kept the lights on.
Yeah, I think that might have helped.
Yeah.
It turns out it's pretty hard to do a jigsaw puzzle in the dark.
Mm.
You can't see what you're doing. You can't see where the edges are. You can't even look at the box to help you find where you're supposed to be going.
Mm.
You know, the Bible talks a lot about light. It says that reading our Bibles is like having a special torch, a lamp that shows us the right way to go in life.
It talks about how when people don't know Jesus, it's like being lost in the dark. A bit like us trying to do a jigsaw when we couldn't see.
Yeah, and today we're going to be thinking about how God wants his friends to be just like little lights who shine brightly and show everyone how wonderful it is to be friends with Jesus. And Ali's going to be singing a new song with us today about marching in the light of God.
Over to you, Ali! Yeah!
Says, for God, who said, "Let there be light in the darkness," has made this light shine in our hearts so we could know the glory of God that is seen in the face of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you so much that you came from heaven to earth to show us the love of God. Thank you, Lord, for dying in our place. Thank you, Lord, that your resurrection life has brought life to us. Thank you for all that you give to us. Amen.
What?
Lovely, lovely. Thank you. Okay. Now, I've realized since I've been living here in Swanage how blessed we are to live with this in this beautiful area with what is a wonderful coastline as well as the other parts of the countryside around here. It is quite remarkable. And of course, that's why lots of people come here. Because we're able to see some, and because of that, we're able to see some incredible sunrises. I don't know whether you're one into sunrises. This is a picture of one I took not that long ago. But it's amazing because we've got no buildings, we've got no hills in place. And we can go down to the seafront and get these incredible pictures which capture the beauty and the wonder of a sunrise. And what's also really good is that we've got a few people around the town here, and they keep posting these wonderful pictures on Facebook of sunrises. And we've had some really lovely ones just recently. Look at these. These are all local people who've taken these. And they're just awesome, aren't they? Absolutely fabulous. And it's just wonderful to see it. But why is, it's a question really, why is the sunrise so important to us, I wonder? Apart from, of course, the beauty, as we see, and the colours of the sky that it creates. I think it's because it hails a new day. It hails a new day. It drives away the night and pushes back the darkness. And this is especially pertinent, isn't it, in this time of year. And the season of autumn and winter, where the nights are longer and the days are shorter. I mean, it's actually sun shining today, but it's not been like that, has it, recently? Now, I don't know about you, but I find these longer nights and shorter days make this time of year a lot harder to cope with than perhaps during the spring or the summer. And we've still got the longest day to come, of course, at the end of December, 21st of December. But actually, they cause me and others to not to want to get up in the mornings, you know. You just want to hunker down under your duvet and just curl up. And perhaps in the evenings when it gets dark, you just want to have an open fire and a book and a blanket and a hot drink, and you're just thinking, shut it all out. You just tend to want to hide away, don't you? And it's understandable. But, you know, this lack of light really does affect us. It has its effect upon us. Some more than others. And, of course, some people do suffer from this sad condition, which officially has been recognized as a seasonal affective disorder. Because basically every one of us were designed and created to have light and the sun and the benefits of that, of course, in our lives in order that we might live and stay healthy, both physically and, I believe, mentally too. And it does have its effect. So looking forward to the sun rising and the dawn of a new day and even being able to go down and watch it happen is a right, I believe, a very natural desire within humanity. It's good. But it's true on other levels too, I believe. Because as you look around our world and our nation today, apart from the difficulties of coronavirus, and of course our opening video picked a little bit of that up this morning, you realise that actually that we're shaped by other darkness around us. Another darkness in our world. We're living in dark days. And I suppose every generation would probably say the same. But that which we are is not merely due to a physical lack of light, though. Albeit evident in some cities, of course, because of industrial smog. And there's a lot about climate change going on at the moment. But I would like to say that it's about a lack of spiritual and even moral light caused by a lack of God smog, if you forgive the expression. You know, the absence of this type of light brings upon us a different kind of darkness. It's an empty, a pervading darkness that touches into the very depths of the human soul. It's cultivated in the darkness of rebellion and disobedience and sin. A darkness of despair. A darkness of lostness and separation. A darkness of deep soul hunger that actually eventually drives humanity to make the wrong choices and even take the wrong roads as we seek out some light, some type of light. Any form of light, in fact, even if it's artificial or a false type of illumination, rather than, of course, the true light that leads to life. And I expect what you've been doing as I've been talking like this, you realize the analogy that I'm referring to here. It's the importance of having the true light of God through a relationship with Jesus Christ in our lives. And just as the light of the sun, the natural sun, cultivates life here on earth for the natural world, including us as human beings, as we've referred to, so the true light that is God himself, accessed through Jesus, is the source of true life and light for all of our spiritual, moral, and emotional needs. And in fact, for every other need of life itself, because he is the source of life itself. A life in all its fullness and in abundance. And of course, this serves to introduce our topic today, with it being Advent Sunday, and on this whole subject of the light of Advent. And today's topic being the light of glory. The light of glory. Now, I don't know what you would think about glory or a light, but there are several passages in the scriptures. And I want to read you one of those as our text this morning. It's quite short, but it's taken from Isaiah, and it's chapter 60, verses 1 through to 3. And this is what it says. Arise, Jerusalem. Let your light shine for all to see. For the glory of the Lord rises, but the glory of the Lord rises and appears to you, appears over you. All nations will come to your light. Mighty kings will come to see your radiance. And, you know, as we read through the Bible, we actually hear it from the beginning right the way through to the end. There's one recurring theme, and it's those contrasts, or even a battle, if you like, between light and darkness. It's evident all there. And if you think about much of the world's history in which we live, say in our own lifetimes, the same struggle is identified and has been going on for centuries. From the time man first walked this earth, the tensions and the struggles between lightness and darkness have been evident in every human soul. And they manifest themselves in different ways, internally and externally. And of course, ultimately, that battle, described in the darkness-light terms, is the same battle as that identified between good and evil. Good being the light, evil being the dark. Or more specifically, the battle between God and the devil, Satan. And we don't have to look very far, do we, for us to see some of those clashes, some of those tensions present in so many aspects here still. It wasn't just a problem for Isaiah's day, it's a 21st century problem too. So this ancient battle, which has been going on, is still raging in our world, in humanity even, within each individual person, even as it did right the way back when Isaiah wrote these words in this passage today. So we don't have much time to unpack this morning, and there's lots here. It really is loaded, and we haven't got time for it all. But hopefully over the next few weeks, through this little short Advent series, we'll come to grasp that this battle, that of between light and darkness, good and evil, even though it's been raging for centuries, is not one that we need to be crushed or defeated by. Because I believe, and God has told us, the battle's already won. It's already won. The light of Advent that was to come came. And is shining right here, right now. The light that is Christ. The light that is Christ. So even though the darkness is still evident, let's be assured that the devil and all his dark and demonic powers which come with him and the evil schemes which he comes with were defeated and are still defeated. The victory is won. And we're just, in one sense, like in the mopping up days. You know, it's been compared to the situation of the Second World War before. And that's the time between D-Day, when it was believed the core of the war was broken and won, and VE Day, when the enemy was finally declared as surrendered, and it was demonstrated the enemy was completely defeated. There were still battles going on, and lives were still lost, but the war was won. And that's the same for us and Christ. Jesus won this spiritual battle, and he broke the power of sin and death and darkness through the cross. And through his resurrection. So even though the darkness would like and does sometimes want to overtake us, we can stand and we can say, no, the light of the world that is Jesus shines and has overcome. And I can overcome. You can overcome. We can overcome because of him. Isn't that wonderful news? Do I hear a hallelujah even? I don't know, perhaps not. No. And that's why Advent is so, so relevant. Because it actually helps us to remember. It's a time of preparation. It's a time of reminder even. And waiting. Of building towards the hope that God, through Jesus Christ, has released and set in place for the world. And it's so that the world can find that God is actually the source of all that it needs in every sense. And this passage in Isaiah, like many others in the New Testament, points to that very event of light rising, of pushing back and overcoming the darkness. But it's also a reminder, I believe, to us, to the Lord's people. And it's represented here in this passage by the Jerusalem, which is mentioned here. Of course, that was the very place, the city, the area where God had chosen for his people and chosen for God himself to be present through the temple. And that was the very focus of that whole time. But it was there to remind God's people who may well have forgotten, even though he hadn't forgotten them. They may well have forgotten that he had done and what he had done, and that promised that he was there. He was with them in the darkness. He was with them in the battles. And that he will fulfill his promise. And he was reminding them, in my sort of paraphrase, if you don't mind, come on, get up, look out, remember who I am, remember who you are, take hold of that which I've promised in you. I, the Lord, have risen on you, and I will use you to touch others with this wonderful promise of my light which will drive out the darkness in this world. And that's a reminder for you and I too, isn't it, for us in 2020. And of course, who's the promise? Who's the light? Jesus. He's the light of the world, and he claimed that himself, of course. And that leads us on to one just final aspect, if I could, for us to take away from this morning. And that's this very close connection between light and glory. Glory is one of those interesting words. We sort of know it, but we don't know it. What's really it all about? They both appear quite synonymously in this passage, and in fact in other passages as well, and are used interchangeably throughout Scripture in many places. So it says here, "For the glory of the Lord rises upon you." The glory of the Lord rises upon you. And almost like the sunrise, which we've been thinking about earlier. The darkness, because the glory of God rises, is shifted. The darkness is removed. The legacy of the yesterday is taken away to bring in the new day. And it's when the glory of God shines. When the light shines in the darkness. But how could we define the glory of the Lord, I wonder? It's that which emanates from God's own presence. It's that brilliance and brightness and beauty that is unmistakable when the Lord himself is present. It's the magnificence, the power, the authority, the pure expression of God's own holy presence shining, which, in a dark and sinful world, drives out the darkness of sin and death and all that come with those. It lifts off the gloom and the misery of despair and hopelessness. It releases life and light and hope and freedom for all mankind. As the psalmist says, you see one verse there, "For you are the fountain of life," the psalmist says about God, "the light by which we see." You know, it makes you wonder, doesn't it? Why is man still ignoring this God who so clearly shows himself? It's because when we're in the dark, we can't see necessarily the light. Because we're scrabbling around, just like George the puppet. They couldn't find the pieces, could they, to make that jigsaw? Because they're already in the dark. They could not see how to put life or that jigsaw in that sense together. And yet, God is the means from that. And God as the light gives us that understanding, gives us that sight so that we might see where true life comes from. And it's also for you have rescued me, this another psalmist says, another psalm, you have kept my feet from slipping. So now I can walk in your presence, O God, in your life-giving light. Amazing. The transformation. You rescued me from death, and now you've given me a path to walk, which is, I can see. It gives me a hope. And so they also exclaim, another psalm, be exalted, O God, above the highest heavens. May your glory shine over all the earth. There you go again. The light and the glory, interchangeable. It's because God himself is the source of that light. And you know, as we, if you want to spring forward a bit, jump forward to the nativity story itself. What was the thing which when the angels turned up at that shepherd's field outside of Bethlehem, what did they say? Yeah, glory to God in the highest and peace on earth to those on whom God is pleased. Interesting. Interesting, it's the glory of God in the highest. In other words, the light of his very presence, which of course, it was very brilliant light for those poor shepherds in that field at that point. The rising brightness and brilliance of God's very own presence. His glory has risen upon his people in history. But it is also right now, in the present moment, rising upon you and upon me, upon us all. Whether we know it or not, the glory is still there. The light is still there. And of course, it was made manifest through Jesus Christ. And for us now, through the work of the Holy Spirit. But the question is, and this is what Christmas is all about. This is where eventually Advent will lead us to. We have to make that decision. Will I follow this light? Will I allow this light into my life to change? And as God's people, the Jerusalem, if you like, from this passage, will we allow this light to so shine in us that others will see that light and that we'll be prepared to tell other people about that light? So perhaps it is that sometimes we just need to get up early to catch the natural sunrise. What we need to do, we need to get up to catch the day, as it were, before God, the glory of the Lord. To catch it afresh in our lives. To put ourselves in that place through prayer, through worship, through the scriptures. But somehow to bring that light into our lives so that we might see life differently, but then we can go out and tell others about this light. That's what this passage in Isaiah is all about. God has risen. God is light. God is, and his glory of his presence has shone, has risen upon us. And that's so that we can overcome darkness. We can then seek to encroach, and it won't encroach or overwhelm us, but actually we'll rise above it and we will overcome it. For the glory of the Lord rises to shine on you and through you. Amen. Let's pray, shall we? Lord God, we want to thank you. Thank you that even those thousands of years before Jesus physically came to this earth, you had got the plan in place. In fact, all the way through, from the point when sin and darkness entered into our world, you had a plan to bring light, to bring the glory of your very presence into the lives of mankind. Lord, I pray that during this Advent season, as we go through the next few weeks ahead, may we allow your light to shed its beams, its brightness, its brilliance, and your glory, as it were, in our lives. So that, Lord, we look forward and we are grateful with hope to that which you are coming. To when we celebrate the point where you, Lord Jesus, came to this earth, and we remember that. But Lord, it's a reality for us even now because of what Christ did. So Lord, help us, I pray, to live in the light and to share the light. And thank you, God, that we are no longer in darkness. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. And we're going to sing a song so that some of you will remember this from a number of years ago, a Graham Kendrick classic, I think, Darkness Like a Shroud. Encapsulates that. What was it? 35 years ago. Shows how old I am then. And you, Clive. So let's sing this together.
Just
Lord Jesus Christ,
and the love of God,
and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit
be with us all evermore.